It's Diane, it's Tuesday, the 24th of September. So far, in the noon PSS group, I have Teresa and Lauren. Who wants to start us with check-ins and celebrations? Oh, we lost Teresa somehow. You there, Lauren?
Okay, I guess I'll start. I was eating my sandwich, so I was going to wait a second, but that's okay. So I celebrated on the Q&A call the other night, and I'll celebrate it again, that after, so it's been like a year and a half that I've been, since I started Sanity School, but the other day my son came home and he was kind of playing around with taking his medicine, not taking his medicine, and he realized that when he didn't take it, he was totally fine in computer science, which he loves, and in his other classes, it was really hard for him to pay attention. So I was really proud of him for, like, recognizing that about himself.
Yeah. So how did the conversation go, Laura?
I just said, wow, that's really interesting that, you know, you're able to focus on something that you love. Like, what a great fit that that's what you want to study in college because that's what he's interested in. And what else did I say about it? What was something else I was going to say that I just forgot? I don't know, but we had a good conversation about it, and I, because I've really encouraged him to, and that, there's been several times with the whole homework thing over the summer, I said I don't care if you do your homework, but I do care that you understand how your brain works. So I feel like he's starting at least to think about that a little bit. Oh, we did have a conversation about how ADD is interesting because, you know, it's like attention deficit disorder, but I said when you are interested in something, you can pay attention for hours. So we had a little conversation around that as well.
Interesting. Cool. Awesome. Teresa, what about you?
So I had gotten disconnected by mistake, which is actually good because now I can hear. For some reason, everything was so muted the first time. But so we're celebrating successes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my husband and I had to have a conversation with our daughter about finding vape pods in her backpack. And So I think the success was that we waited to have the conversation until we were calm and not triggered and, you know, during a period of connectivity. And so the conversation, I think, went really well.
Wow. How'd that feel?
Encouraging, and, you know, trying to remain my own, maintain my own positivity, because it seems like you take, you know, sometimes a step forward and two steps backwards, but it did feel really good. I mean, it was just, it's good to fall back on and remember how those conversations can actually go well.
Well, and I'm thinking about, you know, your desire to not catastrophize, right? And so I guess I'm curious, how able were you to kind of avoid the black hole of catastrophe?
You mean during that conversation with her?
Especially during the conversation because it's not productive, but beyond the conversation, I'm curious.
It's something that I have to just really continually remind myself about, to be honest with you. I'm working on it.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy at all.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. All right. So this week, because we're back, the topic today is taking aim. And so I'm going to do the conversation opposite what we usually do and do the little bit of teaching before we take aim so that you guys can kind of be reminded of this whole idea of taking aim and how important it is and kind of some of the nuance to it. And I want to talk about the idea of taking aim at a macro level and then taking aim at a micro level. And, you know, the, I don't know if you guys, if you both have your workbooks, but I want to look at the model. Where is the model? What page is it on? There it is. So the model's on page 9, right? And so, you know, we identify the challenge areas, and then we take aim, and then we go into the wheel on the right-hand side, and we start with educating. And what the tool I love to do is to take aim kind of twice. So to take aim from a macro level and then go into the wheel and educate and then go back and take aim on a micro level. So the idea would be that I am frustrated with how mornings are going in my house. And we all know that there's 7 million steps between the pillow and the bus stop. So I want to take aim on mornings from a macro level, but then I want to go in and I want to get curious. I want to look at what are all the steps in the process? Where do we get stuck? Where do we not get stuck? Where are some of the executive function challenges that my kids have that get in the way in mornings? Where are some of the my triggers that get away in the morning, in the way in the morning? And kind of really start with that, kind of getting curious about mornings at a big level, to be able to identify, so, you know, what really is going on is that my kids are having a hard time getting dressed independently when I'm downstairs making breakfast. And so then you want to go back in and take aim specifically on that area of challenge, which is your kids becoming more independent and getting dressed in the morning. So if you're able to kind of narrow in, look at the particular challenge, and then take aim from there. And one of the things I like to remind us about with taking aim is that we want to always take aim on the change we want to see or the challenge rather than the solution. So a parent might say, I want to take aim on getting my child to use their planner. Well, that's really a solution. The challenge you're trying to address is the change I want to see is I want my child to have a process they can use for capturing assignments more independently than what they have now, right? So that may be where you take aim. So it's, you know, the idea here again is to choose one of the 6 challenge areas from a macro level, go in and get curious, and then narrow in on the change that you want to see. So I'm curious, what comes up for you guys on this kind of refresher on taking aim and where you find yourself wanting to take aim for the next couple of weeks as we talk?
So, you know, for me, it's good to go back to taking aim because I think that I feel like as many times as I've heard this, it's just still not like innate in me to really understand it. So that's helpful. And I read the material, but I'm going to go back and listen to some of those videos. But what came up for me is that I would like to, well, I think the macro level for me is communicating in a way that is open, accepting, and motivating and constructive. So often I will say something to Jacqueline that I think is like just a normal way to communicate. And she gets bristled. She like feels criticized. And you know, I guess and it's kind of frustrating for me because I've been working and trying to think about the words I say and how to order the words and all of this for so long. But so often I will say something to her and she just like shuts down, like the whole conversation will just shut down. So I'm obviously missing the boat here. So That's the macro level, and I've got to get really curious because I'm obviously confused on how to motivate her and empower her.
Well, so let's go in. So, you know, she gets triggered when you ask her to do something. Is that kind of the bottom line?
Well, it could be like in a recent concrete example. And again, we waited several days later to bring it up. But she had over the weekend, she was just really disrespectful both to her father and to me. And we let it go. And then a couple of days later, I just said, "Hey, Jackie, I want you to think about what happened on Saturday, and then your dad and I would like to have a conversation about it." And so I was just kind of psychologically trying to prepare her. I didn't even want to talk about it at that point. This was already a couple of days later. And she goes, "What? What? Nothing happened on Saturday." And then again, I let myself get reeled in because, again, this wasn't a time to talk about it. It was right before bed, you know, and so I said, but it was a little surprising to me that she didn't remember it because it was really drastic how disrespectful she was. And so I just said, "Well, again, we're not going to talk about it tonight, but I'm just talking about how you argued with your dad when you didn't like what he had to say. You called me at work 7 times, even though I couldn't pick up the phone. And so then she's bristling and angry with me, and like it didn't help at all. I was just trying to help her start to reflect so that we could have a conversation, because you also have to hold your kids accountable when they really, really cross a line. And she really did.
Well, so let's get curious, right? So for her in that moment, what are 3 things that might have been going on for her?
Okay, well, this is my husband feels
the moment, the moment, hang on a second, the moment when she didn't want to talk about it.
That moment. Okay, the moment, well, that's a good question. I think she could have been tired. She could have felt like she still had homework to do. She could have, what I usually suspect is true is that she's got somebody who she wants to snap back or talk to on the phone.
Okay. So are you open to something else?
Yeah.
So what's coming up for me with these kids so often is that they get triggered. And they really don't know why they get triggered. It's kind of like, if you think about it, if you've ever been really mad or really upset, mm-hmm. if somebody says, "What happened?" It's like, "No, I got triggered." You know, it's just like, it doesn't matter kind of what happened. I got triggered. And so mm-hmm. I guess the question that comes up is kind of like, what are you really holding her accountable for? Are you trying to hold her accountable for never getting upset? Or are you trying to hold her accountable for apologizing when she does? Which is it?
Well, I think in this situation, John and I even asked ourselves a day or two later, are we just going to let that go and not, help her understand how disrespectful and disobedient she was to people in authority? Because if I let her get away with this, then she goes and has a relationship with a boss or a relationship with a teacher.
Hang on, Teresa. So are you saying that you don't think she had any idea that her behavior was not okay?
She seemed to act like that when she said, "What do you mean? What happened on Saturday?" So that's
okay. So hang on a second. So that's an interpretation, right? So you see that her saying what happened on Saturday is a reflection that she didn't know that what happened was actually a problem.
Mm-hmm.
How true is that?
well, you're giving me hope that maybe it wasn't true.
Well, and this is the thing, the pattern that I see is that as parents, it's like we want to make sure we send a message. And so we send a message 7,000 times, and then our kids don't change their behavior. And it's like the reason they behave that way is not because they don't know that it's not okay. It's because they have a difficult time managing their impulse and their triggers. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to take you back to where we're taking aim, and I'm going to switch to Lauren. So it sounds like where you want to take aim is on communicating with, I guess the question is it about communicating in a way that she'll do what you want her to do, or is it communicating in a way that she won't get triggered, or what are you really hoping for? What change are you trying to see?
Communicating in a way that she won't get triggered.
Got it. Okay. Cool. All right. Lauren, what about you? Well, yeah, what about you? What is it about this idea of taking aim that was important for you today?
Well, can I say one thing that's been helpful for me along
sure.
with the lines of what you guys were talking about?
Absolutely.
Well, it's actually not what's been helpful, but what's not ever helpful for me. Teresa, is it okay if I share that with you?
Of course, of course.
Whenever I tell my son that we need to talk about anything, it's not helpful because he's, and I think I learned that through Impact ADHD. Like, they don't, I mean, we talk about things, but I don't ever say we need to talk because I think automatically they're like lines of defense go up because they're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I don't know. Diane, do you agree with that, or?
Yeah, well, and so I think that that's the piece of it is that you're kind of throwing it in there. We need to talk. It's this sort of, if somebody were to say that to me, even personally, I would be like, oh no, what happened? I don't want to wait till Saturday. I don't even remember whatever, you know, it's just sort of what's really going on here, right? And so I think that that's the question is, you know, what was it about, and this is where I want to leave you, Teresa, is like, what was it about saying we need to talk that she reacted to? So that was why I was saying, what are three things that might have been going on for her in that moment? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great insight there. I think I thought I was psychologically preparing her and laying the stage, and we things were kind of, you know, connected at that moment. But I think that's exactly right. Probably when she heard those words, her immediate reaction is, I'm in trouble. It does resonate with me what happens, what's reinforced through the course so much that there, even though you don't think you're doing it, so often they get the message, I messed up again, I messed up again, I messed up again. And so, I think I should have never said that. I should have just waited until the time we were going to actually have a conversation and then have it organically and not preempt it with, we need to talk about this. Yeah. That's right.
Well, and it may be that you still want to find a time that's convenient to talk. Hey, I want to catch up with you on a few things on Saturday. What time will work? Is different than we need to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point. What not to do?
Yeah. It just I've done it a lot of times, and it never worked well for me. So I stopped doing it, and it works much better if you just jump right in and say, I don't know.
Yeah. Good idea.
But for my aim, that's kind of piggybacking on my celebration this week that he was starting to, like, I got a glimpse of my son starting to understand or thinking about his brain a little bit. I would love to help him figure out how to stimulate his brain. Is the macro level, because I think, after getting curious, I think without taking his medication, I think he gets that dopamine from video games. And so I just would love to help him figure out how to get that in other ways besides his medication.
So I guess I'm curious how interested you think he would be in figuring this out with you.
You know, I don't really know. I think he might be a little bit interested. Well, and am I supposed to think about the micro yet or not yet?
You can. Go ahead.
I think the micro level is that his biggest challenge is getting started. So once he's started, he's fine. But he really has a challenge on getting started. And I think the only reason I think he may be interested in it is because I think he probably sees value in not taking his medicine all the time because it makes him not hungry. And then just finding other – I think he wants to be motivated sometimes and just isn't. So I'm not 100%
sure. Well, so I'm hearing two things. So I can't tell whether you want to take aim on continuing the conversation with him about taking medication or not taking medication, or whether or not that's the solution to the getting started problem.
When he has his medicine, he's great. Like, as far as being motivated, being focused, like, I think the dosage is good for him. Like, it's a good fit. But he has said recently that he doesn't like taking it all the time just because it makes him not hungry. And he's, like, just recently, he's not as interested in taking it. And I don't always encourage him to because I want him to eat more food. So I don't, like, it's kind of like a catch-22 with the medication because it's really beneficial for him in some ways. And then so I don't really know the answer to your question.
Well, and so it sounds like letting you talk about it a little bit more gives me a sense, because one of those things I always caution about is taking aim on a solution, right? So the medication is a potential solution for the getting started, right? So it's that sort of, you know, there's lots of ways that he could focus in on getting started. But it really sounds like what you want to do is to have another conversation with him about his medication use and what's working and what's not working and what he, you know, what he wants to do in lieu of or in addition to or whatever else. Is that fair?
Yes. And I do want him to think of other ways. So if he didn't feel like taking medicine one day, what are other ways you can use? Because I feel like if he doesn't take his medicine, he's like truly just has no motivation at all.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So that sounds a little bit like you're pushing for a particular agenda. So I would just kind of stay one step before that, which is you really want to get curious in a conversation with him about how it's going for him with and without the medication and share with him what you're seeing, but not make it about finding something to substitute for the medication. Does that make sense? Don't make it about finding something, because that's a solution, right? So it's just sort of, you've got to find something to replace the medication with. What you really want is to see how he thinks it's going. I mean, he may like the, you know, the times that he's really down, or he may think that it's working fine, or he may think it's not working fine, or he may decide, no, I really do need something more to get a dopamine rush at 2 o'clock, but I need it to be shorter. I mean, but you really want to challenge you to stay, Lauren, in that place of curiosity to solve the problem, which is you're noticing that there are times when he's not taking his medication that's not going as well as you wish it was.
Mm-hmm.
But how does he feel? How does that
right.
feel?
Right, and then instead of saying, like, you need to do something else to get motivated when you don't take your medicine?
Like, so whose saying. Agenda is that?
Well, mine. No, I was saying
well,
not saying that.
No, exactly. No, and I wasn't suggesting you were, but that would be absolutely your agenda, which is he's got to do something else. And for him, it may be totally awesome.
Right. Okay.
So how willing do you think he'll be to have this conversation?
I think he's fine to have that conversation. Because he was the one who brought it up in the first place about that he was kind of experimenting with taking it at the beginning of the week and then not at the end of the week before he's going to run on the weekend. So he would have more food at that time.
And, you know, and what a lot of parents, I'll encourage a lot of parents to do is to give the kids the option of whether or not to take the medication and hold them accountable for having a conversation on a regular basis about what is and isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do always ask him, like, do you want to take your medicine today? Do you not want to? And he decides that, but we don't have as many conversations about it, and that would be helpful.
So I want to go back and kind of just talk about this idea of taking aim. How often do you notice, but this is both for both of you, it's like how often do you notice yourself now, because you've been in for a while, kind of actually taking that moment to think about what is it that my child might want to take aim on as well, as opposed to, we were just talking about, you know, inserting your agenda into the process.
I don't think so much about what they would want to take aim on, but I do make sure that I have his buy-in, because if not, it's not going to work very well.
Yeah, and it's a subtle difference, which is it can still be – so that's the piece of it. It's like you can either take aim on something that's their agenda. You can take something that's on a shared agenda, and with buy-in – it makes it more of a shared agenda. It may be your agenda, but you have buy-in, you know, so, or it may just be your agenda. And that's where a lot of us get tripped up, is that we're trying to take aim on something that's our agenda and not our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie, what about you?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Teresa, what about you?
Yeah. You know, I have a question about that, you know, going back to, you know, when you were asking her, how interested is he in figuring this out? I think where I keep getting stuck is, and even at 17, I don't think, she always knows or like would say that she cares about figuring it out, something out maybe I was hearing it wrong, but in the conversation that was taking place, it sounded like there was a little frustration that he would choose video games and maybe he should choose something else to get him motivated. And if a kid just doesn't care about, would just prefer to keep playing video games, and in the long run, we know that that's like not good for them and not going to help them accomplish their goals, are we supposed to just say, well, since he's not interested, I just let him keep playing video games and like flunk out of college? I mean, I'm really having a hard time.
I guess the question is that a real question, Teresa? Because
honestly, maybe this is my catastrophizing, but there is a huge crisis of young adult males playing video games all day long. And are we supposed to just say, go for it and, like, you know, come live at home when you're done? And,
well, no, I mean, that's,
you know,
the thing.
Like,
I mean, it's like we talk about the four roles of parenting, right? So you want kids to be able to self-manage. You want to hold them accountable. I mean, yes, you're still the parent. And the reality is when they're college age and they're living off on their own, you have, you know, less control. I had friends in their 20s who would, you know, literally play video games all night long. And they would have to get to work the next morning and figure it out. But they weren't ADHD. And so, the simple answer is no, you don't just let your kids do what they want to do. And partnering with your child to change a behavior is very different than telling them what to do. Because we know that just telling these kids what to do, especially with older kids, doesn't really instill the skill in them. It just teaches them that people can tell them what to do. Does that distinction make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a yes, it's a yes and, because there are absolutely times as a parent that you're going to put your foot down and say, no, you can't play 24 hours of video games. And having a conversation with your child about what does feel like a more reasonable amount of time on games and holding them accountable for working with you to make sure that they can get off successfully is where those in-between places sit.
Okay, so let me apply this to a situation. So Jackie goes to school all day Friday at a football game, all even Friday night cheering, goes out after the football game, home late, gets up early the next morning, goes to a cheer competition, and then spends the rest of the day and night with her dad and her sister in Athens at a football game. And then they went to church. She comes home, and Sunday morning, she sleeps till she's not tired anymore. Well, and then she comes home with her dad. So they got up, went to breakfast, and she wasn't even home till lunchtime. So she does just a few hours of homework and chores, feeding her pet, cleaning her room, et cetera. And then she calls me and says, Catherine and I want to go to a movie tonight. And and really, in my mind, I wasn't standing next to her. She couldn't see my body language. She couldn't see my face, which was good because my jaw was dropping. Probably what I did wrong is I said, well, no. At that point, she hadn't cleaned her room, which had not been cleaned in 3 weeks. You haven't cleaned your room. You have to feed your pet. You have to work on college essays. You have to, it's Sunday night, and you're going to have dinner with the family.
You put down the gauntlet, and you said, nope, I'm the mom, and the answer is no. And you can do that.
Right, and what I should, yeah, no, I know. And in retrospect, and then I know. I know. So that was a mistake, because what I should have done is probably said, have you blah, 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 and have you blah, 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 and have you finished your homework? So often she'll tell me, oh, I finished my homework. And then she's up late the next night killing herself and then being all stressed out, going to the student counselor and saying, I need to have this period to study for the test now instead of taking the test, and then I'll take it at the end of the day instead. So she uses, I feel like she tries to use her, fact that she has accommodations,
hang on a second. So there's two different things. So there's the what is she doing right now, and then there's what does she do the next time, right? So what you've observed is that she fills up her weekend, and then all of a sudden she knows she needs more time to study, and so she asks for an accommodation, which is actually pretty awesome that she's able to ask for an accommodation. And what I'm hearing you say is that you want her to develop the skill of proactively thinking through that and not waiting till the last minute to get the study support. Is that fair?
Yes.
So how does she feel about how it's working?
You know what the problem is? Then I'm just behind the eight ball because she feels it's working great because I've been reminding her about and I don't always say I say, well, you tell me, Jacqueline, what do you have coming up next week? Do you have any big tests? Do you have any big papers? Do you have any big reading assignments? But for so much of her life, I guess I have been trying to anticipate things for her. And I guess I'm feeling this urgency in the beginning of her senior year and feeling like she has a very poor, time management capabilities.
Well, and again, so it's so then it's this sort of thing, and so then take aim on helping her become more independent and managing her time, as opposed mm-hmm. to taking aim on her being independent and managing her time, because there's several steps in between where she is right now, mm-hmm. which is you're walking mm-hmm. her through every single step. And she's mm-hmm. putting it off to the last minute. It may be that putting it off to the last minute is working for her, and you're concerned that it may not be able to work for her forever. So that's where the buy-in challenge sits, right? In her mind, mm-hmm. this strategy mm-hmm. of asking for extra study period is working. Mm-hmm. In your mind, you see that it's not sustainable. So how do you get a little bit of buy-in from her to try a different tact besides asking for a period off at school?
I'm all ears. well, I like the fact that you said that I think that's something I can celebrate with her, that she was proactive in asking for an accommodation for herself, and then asking her permission to talk about backing it up, so that maybe the next time she might not have to necessarily request that for herself. Could it have been avoided? And let's talk about it.
So hang on a second. So there's an assumption you're making that what she did was not ideal, and she may not be there, right? She may think that mm-hmm. this is perfect mm-hmm. solution. I have this boring second period. If I can get out of second period, I can do all my homework in second period, and I'm mm-hmm. fine for my fifth period test. So mm-hmm. I think that you know, getting curious with her and say, hey, I noticed you have the strategy of skipping one class to study for another class. And I'm wondering whether, you know, what are some of the advantages of doing that? And what are some of the disadvantages of doing that? Mm-hmm. And just have a conversation mm-hmm. with her and see if she does see the disadvantages. And if she, you mm-hmm. may find out, no, this works really good because second period's boring. And she's mm-hmm. always caught up in second period. I mean, my son used to sit in second period in gym, and they would just literally sit in the gym. And I'm like, if you could get a pass to go sit in the library and work on another assignment, that would be fabulous, mm-hmm. rather than just sitting mm-hmm. in the gym. So
well, I think
where do you get curious with her instead of making a suggestion?
Well, what happens a lot of times, and this is why I was saying at the beginning of the session that I have to figure out what it is about, whether it's my tone, my body language, or choice of words. Because when I try to get curious with Jacqueline, that triggers her. She doesn't like to be asked questions. She will even say to me, why don't you just tell me? Why don't you just tell me? Mm-hmm. Why don't you just tell me? Because I want you to figure it out, Jacqueline, because I want you to develop, you know, critical thinking skills. I'm not going to be at college with you. She just wants
to go. Well, so hang on a second.
From
when you ask her for suggestions, do you ask her for ideas or do you ask her for a solution?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to have to think about that.
One of the habits we tend to have as parents is say, well, what do you think you should do about it? And mm-hmm. that feels like a little bit of pressure, like they're supposed to know the answer. And most of these kids have no idea how mm-hmm. to get their brains to do what they want it to do, which is very different mm-hmm. than and this is the language I use with you guys, what are a few things you could try? Do you want mm-hmm. some help coming up with ideas for things to try? I think it would be great if you came up with some ideas as well. What do you think? There's no right answer here. Let's just brainstorm. You know, it's that sort of finding ways to take off the pressure, because it sounds like either she is feeling pressure to find out an idea, or she thinks you already have an idea and that her answer is not going to be good enough and you're going to want to tell her what to do anyway. So which mm-hmm. one do you think is more likely?
I think she probably thinks I already have an idea and that I'm going to tell it to her anyway.
So
and
how true is that?
Her
how true
Arizona.
Is that?
Well, I guess that's one of my big problems, because I do feel like when you have experience and wisdom and you've seen four kids go to college and they were all completely overwhelmed by the actual workload at college versus the workload in high school, you feel like probably you do have some wisdom to pass on.
Well, that makes sense, because you're sitting here, you've got wisdom to pass on, and I'm wondering how much you remember being 17 years old and not feeling like the adults in your life were as smart as they really are.
Yeah, I just had a very different experience as a teenager, and so maybe that's one of my difficulties in raising kids in this generation. I don't know. I was afraid of failure, and I worked hard because I didn't want to fail, and I wanted to please my parents, and I had to study. In retrospect, I didn't know I had ADD at the time, but I knew I had to study probably 2 to 3 times as long as everybody else, and I just did. So, this is a challenge for me.
So there were some. So acceptance and fear is what motivated you. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and you know that those are things that are not working the same way with Jackie. So what are the things that motivate her?
Well, material things motivate her, and that.
Okay. What else?
I would say words of affirmation and encouragement and empowerment. I think she does she wants to please us, which is a good thing. She wants us to be proud of her.
And my guess is, Teresa, she just doesn't know how to get her brain to do what she wants to do. And so you just pushed through, and you worked harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. And she knows that that's not going to work for her. And so, but she doesn't know what will work for her.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct is that you probably use language that makes her feel like it probably, if she would work harder, it might work. It may not be resonating with her. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to let you sit with that for a minute. I'm going to go back to Lauren. So what's coming up for you around?
There was like a million things that came up. So I think for me, the whole buy-in thing, because I used to kind of share Teresa's thoughts, like, we're the parents. Like, they need to listen to us. But as my kids have gotten older, I mean, I can control them and tell them what to do and make them do it, but they're just going to resent me. And when they leave home, they're not going to do it if they don't want to anyway. And the video games are a great example of that. So I've tried to really, I used to demonize video games. It was one thing I had to work on. 1 week at PSS is not demonizing the video games. I don't know if you remember that, Diane. I had to
sit
next to my son and see what he was playing and see what he was watching on YouTube videos. And so, I mean, keeping in mind that he wants to be a computer science major, like, it's how he relaxes. And so I've come to I guess understand that a little bit better, a lot better than I used to. And then I feel like, I mean, I make him sound like all he does is sit around and play video games. He's taking, I think, 5 AP classes and has A's in all of them. So, and he's running. So he's like, this is my relaxing time. This is what I enjoy doing. So I try to respect that, even though I do wish he would do different things. But that's what he that's what he enjoys doing. And so I feel like forcing him to do other things is just going to make him resent me, which I don't want.
Well, and that's always the trade-off, right? It's just sort of, you know, it, yes, as parents, we can always, push our opinion, our will, you know, take away everything, hide the internet password, whatever the things are, right? And ultimately what you're trying to do is to help them to figure out what's going to work for them long term, because they're not always going to have a parent that's going to take away their Wi-Fi password.
Right.
So Lauren, the area of focus for you, that place where you're taking aim, what's changed kind of with this whole idea of micro versus macro?
Just that we need to talk about the medicine and see how that's going. And I think that might lead us to talking about ways that he can activate his brain. And if not, then, all right, my dog's about to bark. If not, then maybe he's okay with it the way that it is. And if he's okay with it, then there's nothing that I'm going to do right now that's going to change that for him anyway.
How does it feel to say that?
I think I'm okay. I mean, I've come to accept that if he doesn't see a problem with it, that, well, I guess that's true and not true, because if he doesn't see a problem with it, it's okay for him. If it's not okay for me, then I guess the example that I'm thinking about was that he was speeding in the car, like he was driving faster than we wanted him to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we asked him to slow down, asked him to slow down, asked him to slow down, and he didn't. And so I bought a speed limiter that we had talked about putting on his car. And so it came in the mail. And after it came in the mail, I think he was like, oh, okay. You know, we were like, you can either keep going. You have the choice. You can keep going fast, or you can slow down, you know, or we can slow. You can slow down on your own, or we can slow you down, because it's our responsibility to do that. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel like we need their buy-in, but in that instance, like, I got his buy-in that he needed to slow down one way or the other, and he did. He has slowed down without the speed limiter.
That's a tool that I often will encourage parents to use. It's just sort of, well, I can go back to level one and tell you what to do, and that may not feel good for you. So what do you want to choose instead? What would feel better that would be more in your control but in alignment with what we're hoping for you to change? Does that make sense?
Right, I still needed his buy-in either way. Like, he still needed
it. Right, and you got his buy-in by telling him that you do have the power to tell him what to do.
Right.
So do you feel good about how that worked, or was that troubling for you? I can't tell.
With the car? You mean
yes.
with driving? No, I feel very good about it, because, I mean, we said, like, the choice is yours. When you got your license, like, the way I think it might have been Elaine that I was on the call with and talked about it. But in Virginia, the judge gives the licenses to the parents, and then the parents give it to the kids. So when the judge gave us his license, they said, you're responsible, like, you know, we expect you to be responsible citizens. And so that's what we told him. We said, you can keep speeding. Or we said, because it's our family car, we said, if you keep speeding, we're going to put this on. If you want to get your own car and speed, like, that's your option. But, I think he felt like he had choices. But thankfully, he chose the option we were hoping he would.
Yeah.
So I did feel good about it. I'm kind of rambling. Sorry.
That's all right. This is a tricky nuance. It's a sort of idea of figuring out how to set boundaries as a parent and get buy-in. And there's this dance. And what you're describing, Lauren, is this sort of collaboration that, hey, I don't want to be that mom that just says, hey, we're putting the thing on the car. But if you can't, you know, if we don't have your buy-in to change the behavior, that's the solution we're coming back with.
And that was the only way that he realized that we were serious about it and weren't just saying it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so let's switch to our four questions. And I am on page 19. So what did you focus on or pay most attention to today? What was your clarity or takeaway? What is a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success with this action? So jot down a few notes, and I'd love to hear from both of you at least one aha and one action commitment. Whenever you're ready.
This is Lauren. My aha was to have a conversation about the medicine more than like having him figure out how to stimulate his brain. Hopefully that might come. But to talk about the medicine and go from there, and we'll have a conversation about that.
Okay.
And then the importance of buy-in.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
What's going to get in the way, Lauren?
I don't think anything in the way of the conversation. He may say, yeah, medicine's fine, or I don't know how in-depth he's going to want to, like, explore it, but I think it's worth starting that conversation.
Okay, that makes sense. Teresa, what about you?
So I had to move from my office to the car because I have to meet two people to go downtown in 10 minutes. But so my mind is not really as focused. But I think for me, I want to the aha was really the communicating in a way that won't get her triggered, because even before I get buy-in, I have to avoid triggering her. And so I'm just going to have to get more, going to have to really think about some of the concrete examples in the last week or two and help, reflect on some of the things we talked about. That was a great insight that just, it's better not to say we need to talk about something, because I think that does trigger her, but other things as well, and to avoid those triggers. And when she triggers me, and I think I've talked about this before too, I was completely triggered when she was essentially socializing most of the weekend and then felt comfortable even coming to me and saying, Catherine and I want to go to a movie. And this was all a conversation by text, but when I reminded her of all the things she had not completed, I said, one of these days you are going to have to make these same assessments and decide whether you really have time or not. And I think half the time she asks me because she's actually hoping I'll say yes, even though she knows in her heart. And that's probably what I should have asked her. I should have said, do you think you have time? I don't know. So I don't know.
Well, I'm curious what you would have done if she would have said yes.
I think that if I asked her at this point and then she said yes, then I think I would have let her do it. The problem is, quote unquote problem. I don't think I would have asked her that if I wasn't prepared to let her go do that. And that's maybe one of the reasons I didn't say, do you think you have time?
Right.
But maybe a step in between that would have been, sure, you can go once you finish A, B, C, D, and E.
Well, and so again, it's a sort of, so, and that does feel like a step, it feels like a step closer, so, but it's also you telling her what to do. So asking her, what are the things that you need to get done this weekend? And I'd like you to get some of them done before you go. Which ones can you commit to? You know, so it's that sort of giving her some choices. She may be willing to let one of them go until tomorrow. I mean, who knows? But it's that sort of dialogue with her about what needs to be done instead of you saying, yes, you can go, but here's what you have to do. Does that make sense? Because yes, you can go, but here's what you have to do is still level one.
Yeah. Oh, that's level one. It's not even one and a half or two?
No.
Wow.
You're telling her what to do.
Well, isn't a parent supposed to have some expectations about if you have a pet, you have to feed them? What if she doesn't come up with those things when I ask them to her on her own?
So there's nothing wrong with level one, right? So we're not saying that, but you were saying that you felt like it was higher than level one. And yes, you need to hold her accountable for feeding the dog. How she gets it done or when she gets it done, you want to become increasingly more in her boat. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what's scaring me, honestly, is that she's already 17, and I can't let the fact that, you know, it seems like it seems like there's so many, you know, when she's a junior, you say, oh, well, this year counts because she's got to, like, these are the grades that count, and she's got to take her ACT, and then you say, well, she's a senior, and she's got to get these out.
Well, and so then you're catastrophizing. So what you're saying is your catastrophizing comes in. So there's two parts of this, Teresa. One is managing your catastrophizing, and two is working with her. And two is working with her to improve the relationship, and then three is figuring out how to collaborate with her more frequently. Does that make sense? Because if you catastrophize, you're going to be like, no way you're going to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Nice call today, ladies. Thank you so much for your time.
Right.
And we'll talk to you all soon.
Thank
oh, there's
you.
A PSS right. call again next week. We're 2 weeks in a row, I think. Hang on, let me double check. Yep, we're PSS 2 weeks in a row this month because of some of the scheduling stuff. So we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thank
Thanks
you.
Everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
So bye.
Bye.
Bye.